fourth and final hour of the program here. Chris Thomas Turtle hanging out with you, Chris Thomas, tonight until 10 o'clock each and every weeknight here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yep, Braves are still losing. Yeah. It is what it is, folks. Unfortunately, we are just dealing with a team that's not going to be able to play consistent football as I'm watching a
They can't ACC. Play football either. They're
no,
that bad.
No, they can't. Some of them could probably throw football pretty far. Consistent baseball as I'm watching a ACC network coverage of ACC Media Days is why I had the Freudian slip there. But they're just not able to play consistently. And tonight they had to bring up a pitcher who, much like Mr. Fuentes, is just not a big league pitcher, not at least right now. And when you consistently have to do that because four of your starting pitchers are down for the count for a significant amount of time, what are you supposed to do? And the guys that are here, some of them aren't performing up to snuff. Back end of the bullpen continues to be a mess, and that's where this team is right now. So it's unfortunate, but that is the reality of your 2025 Atlanta Braves. Hopefully, the reality of some of these NFL teams that we're about to get into here is going to be much better than that as we hit or in a little stock up, stock down for this upcoming NFL season. So why don't we, much as we did last night for baseball, start to spin that wheel.
Some more music here. Now, yesterday we had the last time we had the This Week in Baseball theme. Now we're going to have some NFL music, NFL films music.
Love
here.
It.
So, all righty. Our first spin, sir. Here we go. Divisional rivals, sir. The Carolina Panthers. Stock up, stock down.
Well, considering the way they spanked us at the end of the season last year and the continued growth and development of Bryce Young and getting the receiver in the first round, Tet McMillan, you would think stock's going to be up, right? I don't know what the state of their defense is going to be this year.
J.C. Horn out there.
Yeah, and Derek Brown, right?
Derek Brown is back this season.
Yeah, he is. He's back, right?
Just gave Chuba Hubbard a very sizable contract extension.
And they drafted who'd they draft? Did they draft Omarion Hampton?
No, he's out in he's the Chargers.
He's with the Chargers, okay. They drafted somebody too. I'm gonna say stock up. I don't think it means playoffs, but stock up from where they've been the past couple of years. Yeah, I'm gonna say stock up.
Trevor Etienne, that's who they got.
That's who they got, okay. Mm-hmm.
So Trevor Etienne. Let's spin the wheel again here, sir. Where will it land? Where will it land?
No whammy, no whammy, no whammy.
Yeah, it's kind of a bland one, but we'll do it anyway. Seattle Seahawks. Stock up, stock down.
Well, you know why? It's interesting. We got to play them.
They are an opponent this year.
Yeah, at home. They just got rid of Noah Fant.
They did.
Would you want him, by the way? He's another underperforming
because
for his career.
You have one underperforming tight end.
But maybe if you have
combine
two.
It makes one.
Yeah.
They say you have two quarterbacks, you don't have one. But if you have two
But if you have two 500-yard, three-touchdown tight ends, then you have one decent one.
1,000 yards and six touchdowns. You put them together.
That's pretty good. That's like half a Pro Bowl each, if you think about it.
Gave Darnold that big deal, yeah.
Do you believe
traded DK Metcalf this offseason?
Darnold has too much of a track record of not being that good. Like, he's had a hefty sample size of being below average in his career.
He got paid off the 1 year that he wasn't,
And he was at three different stops in Carolina, New York, and San Fran, and then he balls out in Minnesota.
Carolina, too. He didn't do well in Carolina. He was in Carolina for a minute.
Oh, that's right. He's been on four teams. And then they brought in – that was a rough time for Carolina before they drafted Bryce. They had Baker Mayfield. They had Sam Darnold.
And the guy from the XFL.
Oh, yeah. I'm blanking on his name.
Who right almost now. Beat the Falcons.
Yeah, you're right about that.
P.J. Walker.
Okay, yeah. Okay, we got there. I'm going to say stock down because I don't think they're going to win their – I think Rams are winning that division.
Okay.
And I don't think they're going to make the playoffs.
Okay.
So I'm going to say stock down. But they're a pesky little team.
They always seem to just kind of get a couple wins that they weren't supposed to get.
Going back to like the Sean Alexander days, they're just like pesky all the time.
And they've got a very young-ish but kind of in the same vein as it was before that defense where you know they kind of build from the back with the secondary guys. So they've got a couple of very good young cornerbacks there too. So
yeah, I'm going to say stock down though.
All right. Here we go. Let's spin that wheel again. And where are we going to land now? Where are we going to land now?
Here we go.
All right. It got Seattle again, but I'm not going to pick Seattle because it's almost on the line. Kansas City Chiefs are next on that list.
Ooh,
stock up, stock down.
Very interesting. I saw a video today of Mahomes throwing an 80-yard bomb to Xavier Worthy, so that's something. I'm going to say can they do it again or – can they win the AFC again? They can.
I mean,
yes, they can.
I don't see any reason why, as long as Patrick Mahomes is healthy, right?
Yeah, they just locked up Trey Smith.
You got to
figure out the tackles.
A motivated, I guess, Travis Kelce this offseason. You're going to be probably without Rashee Rice for a few games this
season.
Doesn't
he have to serve 30 days in jail?
So there's going to be a suspension more than likely for him.
They also just paid George Karlaftis.
They did just pay George Karlaftis. Pacheco is back healthy now. Very violent runner, so.
Did they bring Kareem Hunt back?
That's a good question.
I'm going to say stock down just
Kareem Hunt is still.
Yeah, he's them.
Still with
he's
the Chiefs.
With he had a good bounce back with them last year. I'm going to say stock down, but just like kind of slightly by default, because I think the teams around them have gotten better. I think the Ravens are better. I think the Steelers are going to contend. Buffalo's still going to be there. Is Cincinnati going to be there? I don't know. That is, by the way, before we get out of here, don't let me end this segment without playing some Mike Brown sound.
Oh my gosh.
Because that was, we have to play that for you.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
We didn't have like an official football frenzy today, so I didn't get to it. But we got to play this sound from the owner of the Bengals.
Absolutely.
It is unbelievable. Jerry Jones, too, because we didn't get to that yesterday. All right, let's do it again.
Spinning at will. Where are we going to land? Ooh.
By the way,
good one.
Okay, before you get to it real quick, what is going on in the sky right now? Are you watching this?
No.
It's not lightning. Or is it? I don't know. Is it a concert? Is it... I every couple of seconds here, I'm seeing bright flashing lights in the sky, and it is so distracting, and I cannot for the life of me describe what it is. I don't know. I guess I'll have to keep... I just saw it again.
All right. Well, something's going on in the sky.
Yeah, something's going on in the
sky. Could be good, could be bad.
Yeah.
We'll keep you posted.
Yeah. We'll have to hit up like Everything Georgia or one of those accounts to
figure out what's going on.
Figure out what's going on. All right. Who do we got?
The Detroit Lions. Stock up, stock down.
This is one of the best ones you could get. I think it's got to be stock down by default, right? You lose both your coordinators. Is Jared Goff going to have another season that's that good? You believe that? He's been pretty good since he got there, but he was really good last year. They do have the running back tandem. In my opinion, the second best
and
running back
David
tandem.
David Montgomery is healthy. He missed a little bit of last year. At one point, it was going to be a season-ending knee injury, but he was able to come back off a second opinion. So maybe the best running back tandem in the NFL, not named Bijan and Tyler Algier.
I just got a text from one of our employees confirming.
He did say something in the sky,
confirming
yes.
Confirming what I am questioning right now as to what the heck is going on in the sky. All right. Well, I'll keep you posted.
Let's just search on Twitter, Midtown Sky.
Yeah, Midtown Sky. We're not going to do a War of the Worlds thing here. First of all, that'd get us in a lot of trouble. Second of all, that's just not what we do here. But we'll keep you posted because, again, it caught my eye too many times for me not to stop what I was doing. Which team are we on right now?
The Lions.
The Lions. Yeah, I think it could come down to as simple as, do you believe that Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn were that integral to the team's success, right?
You lose your DC and your OC in the same offseason.
That's going to be tough.
It's tough, yeah.
So I'm going to say slight, much like the Chiefs, a slight stock down. I still think they're going to be good. That's also a really tough division.
They are going to have Aiden Hutchinson, though, now for more than just three games this season, hopefully. Or four games, however many games he played last year before he had the leg break.
Yeah, that division is still really tough, though. I don't know. They may have to do something really special to win that division again. I like the Packers. I think the Packers are going to be really good this year with Jordan Love. I really like their draft as well. All right, let's get one more in here before we catch a break.
One more spin here, sir. One more spin. The Miami Dolphins.
Ooh, that's another good one. We had a bunch of good ones today. Also another opponent of your Atlanta Falcons. I'm going to say stock down. I think Mike McDaniel's on the hot seat. If they don't win, if they don't win like 10 games minimum this year, you think McDaniel gets fired? I kind of do.
I will say this, though. By all accounts, Tyreek Hill is saying all the right things this offseason as opposed to saying all the wrong things at the end of last season.
Oh, you're 100% right. And did you see that video that came out with him from a camp a couple of weeks ago where he was running routes? Oh, he looked good. He looked like prime
quick
Chiefs.
And that yeah, amazing footwork
yeah,
of his.
Just
that,
like, you can't stop that guy kind of a thing. It's so crazy, too, because he's like, what, 6 foot, if that?
If that, yeah.
Which is crazy. But he just, he can do everything. He can blow by you. He can manhandle you. He can high point you. Like, that guy is an absolutely awesome weapon, when he's right. But he wasn't right last year. That was part of the problem. I'm going to say, final answer, stock down. I don't know about Tua, man. Long term, I don't know. How can you trust Tua long term? Given he's done some really good things in this league, but I think it's borderline impossible to trust him long term. All right, good stuff on the stock up, stock down NFL edition. Again, sorry we were a little distracted there. The flashing lights.
I got to go to the window now. Yeah. Has it popped back up again?
Literally just as you were saying it. There's something going on, man. 404-726-0929. If you know what's going on, tweet me at CThomasRadio, at CTTonight929. When we get back, we will chat with our good buddy, David Sampson of the Nothing Personal podcast. He joined the show to talk some baseball. We got into some conversation of some really good media stuff as well. You don't want to miss that. David Sampson of Nothing Personal joins us next. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, Odyssey app. We are just mere hours at this point away from Falcons training camp getting underway. Of course, we have all things covered pillar to post every day right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And my next guest on Chris Thomas Tonight, Turtle with you till 10 o'clock, Will McFadden will be there as well, senior writer and editor for AtlantaFalcons.com. Will, all right, we have made it. Been a long off season, but here we are. What are your two or three biggest storylines you are looking forward to tackling on the first couple of days here of camp?
Yeah, we are. We're here, Chris. It's exciting. This is one of the, I feel like, more unknown teams that I've covered in a little while, because obviously, and this is my number one storyline, is Michael Penix in the offense, right? I think various models have been debated about the best way to build an offense, knowing how important the quarterback position is. It's, you know, you start with the young quarterback and then you maximize the rookie contract and you use that money to build everything around him, or you drop a young quarterback into a ready-made system. And that's kind of what the Falcons are doing here. So how quickly he can get up to like a cohesive chemistry with his top weapons, that's going to be number one. Number two, honestly, when it looks, maybe I can just say like how the defensive rookies really acclimate themselves, specifically Billy Bowman and Xavier Watts, because those are going to be the two guys I think we can get the best feel for early, especially before the pads come on, is kind of that secondary group. And then, you know, here's a little bit of an under-the-radar one, but one that I think will kick up a little bit, especially when the preseason games get going, is just that kicker battle. I still have all the confidence in the world in the Younghoe Koo, but they brought Lenny Craig in for a reason. There's going to be a competition. Raheem Morris said they need to get better there. So, you know, we could say Kyle Pitts, we could say the pass rushers, all that stuff. But I do think in this league, when everything's a one-score game, getting that kicker spot right this year, again, if that's Koo, if that's Krieg, that's going to be important.
How close of an eye are you going to have on Ryan Neuzel, the new center?
Yeah, that's a great one as well. I not maybe as close as I would had it been somebody brand new, but you know, it's something that we didn't maybe discuss enough kind of with the incoming of a new offense in Zach Robinson's group last year, is that they did really keep a lot of the run concepts and schemes the same and married that between coordinators, with Dwayne Ledford, the run game coordinator, TJ Yates, pass game coordinator, and then Zach Robinson. So if anything, I think more of the learning curve was on the coaching staff. Therefore, you know, it's the same scheme that Ryan Neuzel has been in his whole career. He got 8 games with the group last year. I'll be looking at it, but, you know, I expect him to kind of step right in there and keep that group going strong.
With the uncertainty of Kyle Pitts, as you mentioned, with Michael Penix Jr. being, for all intents and purposes, you know, his first full starting season in the NFL, do you expect Bijan Robinson to be used a lot more out of the backfield as a safety valve?
That's a great instinct. And the reason I say that is because knowing really specifically more what Michael Penix liked to do at Washington, which was he's a big game hunter. He likes to throw it deep. He likes to throw it down the sidelines. In the NFL, if you can do that, if you have that arm strength, defenses will try to put that 10 up on you. They'll run cover 4. They'll run cover 2. That's going to open up not only space in the run game for Bijan Robinson, but I do really like what it opens up in the screen game potentially or in some of these outlet passes. So, yes, I do think you'll see an expanded maybe version of Atlanta's offense in that way. But a lot of it is going to come down to Michael Penix. And one of the early, I think, criticisms I had of Desmond Ridder was take the easy stuff, take what they're giving you. It's something I thought Kirk Cousins did a very good job of being a veteran quarterback. But you know, maybe that too much times. I think that Michael Penix striking the right balance between taking those shots deep, making the defense respect you, but then getting it out to your best guys quickly in the design of the play and how it evolves. Yep, I think that is definitely going to be part of this offense this year.
So how quickly do you anticipate Zach Robinson, I'll use the word unleash, whatever term you want to use, Michael Penix in the season, or do you think it's going to be a slow buildup and progression over the first couple of games?
Yeah, that will really, I think, depend on a couple of things. How much of this offense is new? And by that, I mean, you know, how much of it is added from what they looked at over this offseason, maybe scouting what Michael Penix Jr. did in college. So it may be familiar to your quarterback, but it might be new to the other 10 pieces around him. So how much of the offense is new? Because that will dictate just kind of the height of the learning curve, if you will. And then I really think a lot of it will just depend on the chemistry. How quickly does he get up to speed with these guys? Because that was really the one thing holding him back last year, understandably so. But the more that he's able to prove to the coaching staff, I know where these guys are going to be. We have a good chemistry. We speak the same language. You can trust us. The more I think the coaching staff will kind of open up maybe more of the nuanced things and maybe give, yeah, I don't want to speak too far out of term, but I could see that leading to a more advanced playbook and a broader menu of plays. And so then, you know, that goes back to the first question of just how much is new with this offense. If it's really kind of what he studied last year, he's got the input from Kirk, training camp is just refining. You could see him hit the ground running in week one and maybe be one of these teams that starts 3-1, you know, 4-0, and is kind of like the talk of the town. There's always a couple of those teams. you could also very well see a slower build and you are 1-2, but the offense is putting together, you know, some nice momentum and you feel good about it. So I could really see it going a variety of ways.
I know this is something we talked about as the summer progressed, but are you surprised? I'll use the word surprised very specifically. Are you surprised that the Falcons were as comfortable as they were with keeping the receiving core essentially intact from last year and not making any major or notable additions to the room?
I would not say that I was surprised because as I kind of had my off-season checklist, receiver was on there, but it was always on there in the way of like, okay, it's after the draft. Now maybe you research late and shoot. Maybe this is still the case. You just kind of know that, yeah, it's something we'd like to add to. They like to say, you know, we're always scouring the waiver wires. We're always looking at every roster to find ways to get better. If you feel like, hey, we could upgrade over, you know, Kadarrell Hodge, and now he is just your core special teamer and find somebody else there, we could, you know, find another wrinkle player like Ray McLeod, like what have you. Sure, but that was always going to be lower on my list because of the relative financial restrictions that they had this offseason and kind of the other needs that they entered with. And I don't think it's surprising that they pretty much went defense this entire offseason and in the draft and in free agency with their bigger moves, I think you could say. So that all tells me that they felt comfortable making Michael Penix the differentiator between last year and this year on offense, because a lot of the other pieces, like we don't talk about enough how historic last season's run game was in terms of like efficiency on a per play basis. They were one of the best in like modern NFL history. So you add that, or you add Michael Penix to that, and you hope that it adds another dynamic element. That alone might be enough. And this offense has plenty of weapons. So I wasn't surprised. You can make the argument they needed to, but when you look across the table, I think it was relatively low on that list.
Talking all things Falcons with Will McFadden, senior writer and editor at AtlantaFalcons.com. When it comes to the defensive rotation, I know it's really difficult in practices. They switch things up a lot to sort of get a gauge for who's going to get how much run. But what guys specifically are you looking at in terms of who are going to be the anchors for the defensive line?
Yep. I think with Grady Jarrett no longer here, David Onyemata kind of slots into that like veteran kind of leader, focal point, whatever you want to say, of the defensive line. Then around him, you've got to expect Rick Roro to kind of step into maybe that Grady Jarrett role. I would look at a player like Zach Harrison. You know, Kentavious Street is another veteran who probably is going to be a part of that rotation. The player that and I've got a piece coming out tomorrow naming a few of the players that I feel kind of like need to have a pretty good training camp. And among them is Brandon Dorlus. And he, to me, is a little bit of the wild card in this mix. He was a healthy scratch for a lot of last year, but I don't necessarily think that's an indictment on his ability. I think that was more an approach by the team and also an indicator of kind of where they did have some of that veteran depth, like the defensive line coming out of camp. I was like, I don't know where I'm going to make any of these cuts. they're going to take 12 defensive linemen into the season. So for that reason, he got a chance to learn and grow. He's a versatile player. When he was at Oregon, played kind of all over the place and was effective at doing so. So if he has a big camp, I actually think that unlocks a lot of different opportunities for Atlanta's defensive line. But early on, I would really expect it to be probably David Onyemata, Zach Harrison, and Ruka Roro as your interior three. And then when they go to a four-man front, it's probably either Kentavious Street. You know, maybe we see Taquan Graham if he's able to step up at all, but those guys. And we'll see what Braylon Trice can do where he comes back from injury, but he's probably going to be on the edge anyway.
How much are you expecting to see of Watts and Bowman getting reps with the ones?
Who is the Xavier Watts? Yes. I think they will probably start out with the twos to begin with for maybe the first couple of blocks of camp. If they don't, that is, I think, a great indicator of how they performed in minicamp and OTAs and kind of in the classroom specifically. Because again, this is throughout the afternoon, some of your callers have been bringing up the 2016 draft. Like I'm going to be doing a little bit of digging back into that class as I do from time to time, just to really refresh myself because it feels like it could have that type of impact. And I know, of course, that one, Deion Jones pretty much started training camp at middle linebacker, and that drew a lot of buzz. Don't think Xavier Watts is lining up in Caden Ellis's spot, but I think you'll see him out there a good bit. Same with Billy Bowman. Honestly, if I had to just throw something out that might make sense, joint practices against the Titans, that could be a fun situation to really kind of get them in the mix that week and see what they can do. So we'll see. But if they start out there on Thursday, kind of with the ones, I would take that as a very good sign about how comfortable this staff feels with those two guys.
All right, before I let you go, Raheem and Terry are obviously set to speak both within the next couple of days. Do you think the tone of those conversations is going to be more spoken about the pressure of them on this season, or is it going to be about the excitement of this season, or do you feel like it'll be a mixture of both?
knowing Raheem, not incredibly well, but having been around him, you know, enough, he's always probably going to lean on the excitement side. He is a naturally optimistic, charismatic, you know, he wants to, I think, be at his best. And so he's going to bring his best attitude and energy to everything because that kind of helps all of us perform, honestly. Like if you're relaxed, if you're comfortable, if you feel in command. And so that is 100% the attitude and tone I expect from them. Frankly, I think they're going to be excited for good reason. You know, in talking to some of the players during minicamp, like there is a sense of internal confidence I feel with this group, which you kind of have to have. Every team is going to come into camp, but this one feels a little bit more real to me than maybe in some years. So I would expect Raheem and Terry to echo that and kind of set that tone when they speak to the media.
Appreciate it, Will. We'll be excited to see you up there in just a couple of days. Get your sunscreen ready, and we'll meet out on the hill.
Yep, get the sun hats out, bring the fans. But looking forward to seeing you and the fans at training camp this weekend.
All right, we'll chat soon, Will. That is Will McFadden of AtlantaFalcons.com. All right, so Thursday, again, reminder, if you want coverage of Atlanta Falcons training camp, you're going to listen to this radio station like it's your job, because it is. We will have Raheem Morris. We will have Terry Fontenot. We will have every player you want to hear from, sometimes multiple times.
Yes, him too.
Dukes and Bell will be at the Taj Mahooters. As someone who has spent multiple training camps there, do yourself a favor for one day. Please go and arrange a ride home, because you will need one. It is an absolute blast, training camp. Now, it's hot. I'm not going to lie. You're going to be schwitzy, but it's worth it. And 92.9 The Game will be all over the coverage. Morning Shift, Steakhouse, Andy and Randy. Again, Dukes and Bell at the Mall of Georgia. You got to go. If you haven't been to training camp, or if you haven't been to a Dukes and Bell Hooters broadcast, it is probably the most fun we have during the calendar year. Maybe some of the end of the year shows where it's just, you know, all of us hanging out and having a good time celebrating each other. These shows for training camp, especially Dukes and Bell at the Mall of Georgia, I mean, it is a party for the entire show. Like there are shows going on within the show. There are conversations had during commercial breaks that we can't repeat on the air. I'm not just hyping this. I'm not even going to be there this year because I got this little thing, you know, the night show. We got to kind of do that. So I'm not going to be with Dukes and Bell this year, but I wish I was because I love those broadcasts. They're so much fun. All right, when we get back, not one, but two octogenarian crazy owners sound off in the NFL. You do not want to miss what they had to say. Orin and I will break it down to close up shop. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, Odyssey app. Last chance for romance here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Thomas with you till the top of the hour. Jason Longshore comes your way then with Atlanta Soccer tonight. Oren, before we get into some sound from Mike Brown of the Bengals and Jerry Jones, Uncle Jerry, we lost an icon today. I didn't talk about this yet today. We just had a busy show. Ozzy Osbourne obviously passes away today at the age of 76. Now, by the time I got around to listening to Black Sabbath and Ozzy for the first time, it was many, many moons past his prime, and he was closer to being the Osbourne TV show
that Ozzy iteration of him, yeah,
than he was the rocker. But I still enjoy the music, obviously, all the classics, Crazy Train and Mr. Crowley and the like. You know, I'm not like a Black Sabbath devotee. I don't know like all their deep cuts, but I certainly know all of their big hits, and I certainly know Ozzy for being the rock icon that he was, and obviously blazing the trail for so many of the metal acts that I do listen to, both from the past and currently going on today. What level of fan were you, Oren? How did Black Sabbath fit into your diverse music culture growing up and presently?
Well, like most Atlanta fans, I guess, or not most of them, but a lot of Atlanta fans, the first time you heard Black Sabbath was Crazy Train and Chipper Jones coming up to the plate.
Right.
That was Chipper's walk-up song, great song. And like you two kind of fell into him when he was that iteration of the Osbournes iteration of him. But you kind of do a little bit more digging of him, and like you find out that he and Black Sabbath, what they did in sort of inventing the genre of heavy metal music, just the sound he was able to produce, the guitarist that he had, things like that. So in terms of legendary frontmen, I guess, Ozzy will never go down probably as one of the most vocally gifted of frontmen of all time, but he will go down as one of the best frontmen of all time. Like, he kind of just embodied that spirit of being the man out in front.
I mean, early on, I mean, some of those notes he hit were pretty impressive. I mean, not like classic, like, it's not like Journey status or anything
like
that.
He's never going to be like that where it's like, yeah, classically, like, you know, I'm just going to go up there and belch you just something operatic, but.
Did you think of it? I don't know, what's the phrase? It was just fascinating to see how he sort of gave everything into that final concert, and then just a couple of days later, you find out the news that he passed away.
You don't. Just a couple weeks ago was that concert. And then, too, the Hall of Fame induction he had not too long ago, where Jack Black presented him, and him sitting in the chair on the stage with all the other performers. I mean, you see the impact he had on just rock in general, but, I mean, to be able to go out there and to have that be your final hurrah, that level of show, that level of celebrity, if you will, that's a way to go out.
Yeah, and apparently, like, as you're reading more about it, like, the family all, like, kind of knew that, like, not only would this be his final performance, but things were sort of working their way towards this eventuality.
That finality, yeah.
Which is crazy to just think about in and of itself. Also crazy to think about, is what Jerry Jones and Mike Brown have been saying over the last couple of days.
You talk about some crazy old dudes.
Yeah,
man.
I mean, the crazy train is full with these two on board. Let's hear from Jura first. He was talking about Trayvon Diggs, the fact that he got a contract and that he's a player, unlike Micah Parsons, that you can count on. So he's, I mean, not mincing his words there, oh. He's saying Parsons doesn't have leadership. Because clearly, if that's one of the meriting qualities to give yourself that big contract, and he's saying Diggs has it, then he's clearly saying that he doesn't think Parsons does. I mean, that's a shot right there from Jerry Jones. He didn't even try to hide it. One more from him. He was talking about how Parsons not only apparently isn't a leader, but he's also not healthy.
Seriously, we've signed, I remember signing a player for the highest paid at the position in the league, and he got knocked out two-thirds of the year, Dak Prescott. So there's a lot of things you can think about, just as the player does, when you're thinking about committing and guaranteeing money.
Jerry, do you realize that the Dallas Cowboys play in the National Football League? And do you know that the National Football League is a contact sport where 300-pound men who can lift twice that much
run full speed,
collide at full speed while wearing helmets and
running
pads,
16, 17, 18 miles per hour?
Full force into each other 60 times a game, Jerry. Just in case Jerry Jones didn't know that, somebody can clip that and send it to him. That was one of the stupidest, senile-sounding, old man farting at cloud, get-off-my-lawn-sounding clips I've ever heard. Jerry Jones, what the huh are you talking about, dude? Really? Like, I heard Mike Bell joking around about it. I kind of agree. Dude doesn't need to speak anymore. It's comical at this point. Like, now it's to the point where the only thing he does is put his foot in his mouth. Like, that's all he does. It's just that he speaks. It's funny, Oren. He speaks for shows like ours to have content. That's essentially what it is. But I guess it keeps the Cowboys in the news. All right, before we get out of here, how about the Bengals? Mike Brown. He may sound actually worse than Jerry, if that's possible. He was talking about the holdout of their rookie, Shamar Stewart.
Oddly, something like this has never occurred with us. I don't think it's going to occur. So we're sitting here arguing over something that I think is pretty remote. And I ask myself sometimes why the hell we're doing it, but we are. And he's doing it too. And at some point, we got to put this stuff behind and just get him up here and get him so he can be a contributor.
The way that's phrased is like, well, he has the pen and paper in his hand. He's just not signing his signature. And I don't understand why. We gave him the pen. We gave him the paper. He just needs to sign.
We told him where to sign.
The dotted line is right there. Like, again, you sound so senile and old and like a fool. Dude, this dude does not like the provisions in his contract. He's made that abundantly clear. And you're just acting like that doesn't exist. So, well, he just needs to sign. I am completely floored and flabbergasted as to why this man will not sign. All right, last one before we get out of here. The elephant in the room, Trey Hendrickson, update Mr. Brown.
We're working to get Trey signed as we speak here. There are guys over in the office working to get that done. I think it'll get done. It is the way Trey can be. We like Trey as a person. He's a good guy. But when it comes to these negotiations, and we've been through a few of them with him, he pushes hard. He gets emotional. We never have an easy time of it, but there's one thing that is consistent. It always gets done.
Do me a favor, Oren. Just play the first 4 seconds of that again.
We're working to get Trey.
I thought it right then. Do it again.
We're working to get Trey. We're working to get Trey.
One more time.
We're working to get Trey.
Oh, my God. Oh, that is
We're working to get Trey.
Yeah. That tells you everything. That's all, folks. That tells you everything you need to know right there. It's just such a joke. They have a chance to be a Super Bowl contending team. And because you're a cheap blank, you cannot get it done with either guy that are two, hopefully, stalwarts of your defense. The new class and the old class. Just get it done, dude. Like, do you not want to? This that franchise has never won a Super Bowl. They've been to, what, Orin, three? Did they make it with Boomer? They made it and they lost, I think. I know he had an MVP season there. I don't know if they ever made it to the Super Bowl. They obviously made it with Burrow. Did they make it with Kenny Anderson back in the day? Yeah, they made three, right? One with
so
each 82, of them.
82, 89, and 2012, so, or 2022.
So Kenny Anderson, Boomer, and then Joe Burrow. And that's it. And it doesn't sound like he has any interest in doing anything other than being cheap and stumbling over his words in press conferences.
We're working to get Trey.
Sometimes you got to laugh so you don't cry. That's really just what it comes down to. All right, that'll do it for this edition of Chris Thomas Tonight. Jason Longshore is on deck. He has a tough assignment tonight, man. I talked to him last night. It is a tough go around to have an extended conversation about Atlanta United without just totally wanting to pull whatever hair is remaining out of your head. I mean, they are, woof, the definition of on the struggle bus right now from obviously Garth Lagerwey having to step away, and we hope he's doing well, and then trading players left and right and international contracts, and the state of their team right now is so in flux. The vision that was had for this club this year has completely fallen by the wayside. And it seems more like than anything else, they're going to probably have to maybe not start from complete scratch, but that vision is going to need to be severely reworked. What also needs to be reworked? The Atlanta Braves. 9-0, y'all. Come on, man. It's such a joke. Again, that's why I was saying last night, like, cool, you win 9-5, we can enjoy it, but we have no idea what team is going to show up tomorrow. And the team that showed up today had a starting pitcher that had no business starting a game, who gave up 5 runs, bullpen imploded again, and here you are. So what does that win yesterday mean? That's what it means. It means absolutely nothing. All right, that'll do it for this edition of Chris Thomas Tonight. Turtle, back with you. Same time, same place. We'll continue to get you ready for Falcons training camp. Got special guests that are going to stop by along the way. Longtime NFL writer John McClain's going to stop by. Excited for that and some other great conversations as well. Yeah, man, 9-0. I mean, come on, Braves. Let's go. What are we doing? We'll talk about it tomorrow. Sports Radio, 99 The Game, Odyssey app. This has been Chris Thomas Tonight.
Night, 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 night